Proverbs chapter 4 this morning. In our fourth week of going through the book of Proverbs and using the spreadsheet that we made up off of everybody's reading of that chapter. I'm trying to find my copy of that right now. Should have already had it up here. I've got it over here aside. But in that spreadsheet in chapter 4, when we looked at chapter 4, and we had everybody read the chapter and then give to me the verses that stood out to them, there was really one only area of overlap in that entire chapter, and that was verse 7. And so we're going to focus mainly on verse 7 today, but obviously, once again, I gave you the copy of this, and you can use that as a way. I mean, the idea of this was to use it as a tool, and while we're using it as a tool for our Sunday school, we're also, you can use it as a tool in your daily reading. You can read, all those verses in one that are there listed on there as part of your daily Bible reading for 31 days. For another 31 days, or you can read those things in about a week's time or a little over a week's time if you wanted to use the columns instead of the rows. So it's up to you how you use that, but it never hurts to go back and refresh yourself and study that. And the more you get exposed to something, the better it will be when we get into the church time and actually spend our time studying. So let's read chapter 4 real quick, and then we'll get into our focus on chapter 4, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass it by. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, and incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture, there's obviously a lot of talk about wisdom here, but when we looked at this in our spreadsheet, the area of overlap that we had was verse 7. And so when we look at verse 7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now that tells me, and that verse tells us, that the accumulation of wisdom and having a right understanding of it is the primary goal of life. And that ought to be clear. We go through our life and we gain knowledge and we gain wisdom and we learn to understand it and apply it rightly. We learn to understand it and apply it correctly, and we have to do that through all our lives. Kids, when you grow up, as you're growing up, you're learning things, aren't you? And sometimes you learn something, don't you? And you know what it is, but you don't know how, right? You know what to do, but you don't know how to do it, correct? Knowing what to do is an example of wisdom. Knowing how to do it is understanding. And that's a simple way to look at that. Come on, let's sit up. Now listen, when we look at that, and when we talk about that, we talk about wisdom in that regard, we go through our entire life learning to do things. We learn things about a job. We learn how to do certain things. You learn carpentry. You learn there's ways to do carpentry. We all understand what carpentry is, taking wood and fitting it together and nailing it together and making structures or making things like that. But there is levels of understanding of what carpentry is, and there are levels of understanding of how to do carpentry. So wisdom, we look at that, it's the same thing with mechanics and everything. You go in there and you find, and people have learned to do things, and there's certain tools that help you do things better. These things, I mean, you may know a lot about mechanics, but if you get into a car and start working around there, you have somebody you may know everything he knows about how the engine works, but you may not understand. You look at your hands when you get done in there, and you look at his hands. That man that has that wisdom and understands the how and the why and the tools and all the things that are required to do this thing. You get in there, you look at your hands are all skin up, and his hands aren't. Same thing with a carpenter. You go in there, you got a man who's a carpenter, he understands the thing well, and you may understand what needs to do, but you don't understand how to cut a board properly. You know how to cut the board, you know how the saw works, but there are certain nuances of that you don't understand, and so you end up being short, or the wrong angle, or whatever the case may be, and you have to go back and redo the work, and try to get it right. There's a lot of things that we do in this time, and there's things. Our life is literally, to actually accomplish anything in life, to actually live, it requires the gaining of wisdom and understanding. It requires it. So when we look at the scripture, and he says wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, with all thy getting get understanding, it should not be surprising that applies to the spiritual realm as well. And you can see that clearly. The same thing goes. You have two people that profess faith in Christ, and you have the one, and you give them a scripture and they both know what God says about this particular subject. But one seems to have it together and they are able to take that and begin to use it in their life, right? And the other knows it, but can't apply it. Because they don't have understanding. And so we're told to get that. Now obviously there are sources of wisdom. The primary source of wisdom is the Word of God. The primary source of wisdom is the Word of God. And so reading the Bible is obviously the most obvious way to get godly wisdom, reading the Word of God. God does provide other sources of wisdom. Your parents teach you. You know, there were a lot of things that I grew up saying this is right and this is wrong, and it lined up with what the Bible was, even though my parents didn't get, my parents and my grandparents, they didn't get their wisdom from the Bible. They got it from people before him. And at some point, somebody got it from the Word of God. Amen. That was right and wrong. And so there are other sources of wisdom that we have. Society has certain things that teaches wisdom, although that's rapidly going by the wayside. But the reality is there are sources of wisdom, but the primary source of wisdom is the Word of God. All these other sources of wisdom, they're tainted by man's sin. The Word of God is the only pure source of wisdom. Psalm 12:6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace earth, purified seven times." The words of the Lord are pure words. God's Word is pure. If we were to go over and look at Psalm 19, if you want to turn over there real quick with me, that's that section of the scripture that we always sing. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. All right, so we look at that. God's Word, God says several times that His Word is pure. And so that is the purest form of wisdom that we can have. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That is the place, you know, most people don't learn from the Word of God because they don't have any reverence for God. When you acknowledge that there is indeed a God in heaven and that He has communicated His Word, why would we take the Bible and relegate it to second place in our lives, or third place, or fourth place, or fifth place? Why would this not be the primary reading material, if you will, of our lives? Granted, I understand that there are times where you may not, because of circumstances, situations, you may not be able to read as much Bible as you would like to read, although we do have great ability to read the Word of God. I mean, I've got it on my phone, I got it on my computer, I got a Bible, I've got all these different things that I have. We have audio Bibles and all these different things that we can do. So we can listen to the Bible. We have more opportunity to get the Word of God, yet we're more ignorant of the Word of God than any other generation. It's because we don't reverence God the way we should. I grant it, you may have times where you won't be able to read the Word of God, but reading the Word of God ought to be the pursuit of your life. The fear of the Lord in Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. You know, we're told so many times the fear of the Lord is instruction of humility. If you look at three verses in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? 1 Corinthians 2:6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. And then 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. So when we look at this passage of Scripture and we talk about wisdom, God's wisdom, there's the wisdom of the world, it says of this that God has made that wisdom foolish, that wisdom comes to nothing, and that wisdom is foolishness with God. In other words, God has made it look stupid, foolish, and that wisdom comes to nothing, and that wisdom is foolishness with God. We can't apply that wisdom to our relationship with God. Can't do that. It doesn't work. You can't serve God by the wisdom of the world. And we have to look at the Word of God as the way it is. And when it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that we don't attend to God's Word if we don't reverence Him. We don't attend to God's Word if we don't reverence Him. We don't spend time. We don't make it. If we don't look at God as who He is, if we don't regard Him the way He is in the Bible, as who He is in truth, then we just relegate the Word to second, third, fourth, fifth place, whatever it may be. And when people do that, they don't grow. And generations upon generations of preachers have talked to people and railed against and pleaded and begged and exhorted and done all these things to try to get people to say, hey, this is the most important document book in your entire life. This should be the study of your life. And if wisdom is the principal thing, then the Word of God has to take primacy. Obviously, Christ is the Word of God, and it pleased the Father that in all things He might have the preeminence. That principal thing, that preeminence, the Word of God should be. And so, and then you look at, you remember the story of Mary and Martha, right? Martha was cumbered about with much serving, but Mary was sitting there at Jesus' feet, and she came and complained to Jesus and said, you know, don't you care that my sister left me to serve alone? I believe is the phrase that was used. And Jesus said to her in Luke chapter 10, verse 41 and 42, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary chose the pursuit of wisdom. She was going to make sure that when Jesus was teaching, she was listening. And that is something we need to do. When we open our Bible, we don't just read the Bible just to check off the box to say, I've completed my Bible reading today. We're supposed to have a heart listening, are we not? When we come to hear the preaching of the Word, we're not supposed to just come and put our mind to every other thing that's going on in the world. We're supposed to block all that out and say, I'm here to learn. But how often is it the case that our mind may be everywhere else except on the Scriptures? It's just an amazing thing. And then we talk about the accumulation of wisdom, but we also talk about the gaining the understanding of that wisdom, being able to understand it, being able to obey it, being able to apply it as we ought to. You know, back to Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. So the idea of understanding is to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, to understand God, to understand holiness, to understand what it is, what that means to us, and how it applies to us, and how we apply that ourselves. Knowledge of God is understanding. To know everything about God is one thing. But to relate to God in accordance with that knowledge, that's quite another, isn't it? Of course, we all know 2 Timothy 2:15 says to show thyself unto God a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, we're to take the word of truth, we're to take the wisdom of God and rightly divide it, to apply it correctly, to go line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We're supposed to understand it, rightly divide it. We're supposed to use it properly and learn how to use it. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 32 says, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. One of the areas where we fail, we don't like preaching that steps on our toes. There's certain parts of the Bible we just kind of don't want to read. We have our favorite parts of the Bible, and we kind of gravitate to those, and we neglect other parts of it. And a lot of times that may be because there's something reproving there. Do you find yourself avoiding a part of Scripture, by the way? And so that happens, and we look at that, and people that refuse instruction, they despise their own soul. But he that hears reproof get understanding. Psalm 119 has a lot about that. He says, verse 99, he says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Verse 104 says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Verse 130 of Psalm 119 says, the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. There's a lot. If you took time to study out, and I'm talking about, this is an extensive study, but if you took time to study out every place that the word wisdom is used and cataloged it, and every place the word understanding is used and cataloged it and walked through it, it'd be a pretty long study, by the way. Those words are used very frequently in Scripture. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, you can find those words there. And the reality about this is that there is so much to be said about it. But when we don't take the time to try to find out, we don't try to study, we're refusing instruction, aren't we? If God tells us to study His Word and we refuse to do it, are we not refusing His instruction? And that's something that we understand. And so, but, and then Proverbs 13 says something that we ought to all understand and know. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. The way sin causes hardship. There's plenty of hardship in this world without having to make it self-inflicted, is it not? And every one of us in here knows full well the consequences of sin, do we not? And I'm not just talking about the eternal consequences. I'm talking about cause and effect. The doing of wrong and then having to suffer the consequences of that behavior. We know that, don't we? And we ought to spend our life seeking wisdom, because wisdom's the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Don't just get a bunch of knowledge and a bunch of wisdom and a bunch of knowing what God says, but begin to learn to apply it, to use it in your life. And that ought to be your lifelong study. You know, I just turned 62. Brother Larry's 104. No, I'm sorry. I'm just picking. I don't know how old Brother Larry is. But whatever the case may be, it doesn't matter if you're 62 or 104 or 150 or whatever the case it was. Can you imagine Brother Abraham, Brother Larry, could you imagine Brother Abraham saying, well, I've reached 120 years in my life now, and I forget how many years Abraham lived. I don't think I need to study God's Word anymore. I don't think I need to learn it. Can you imagine him saying that? Can you imagine Brother Moses ever saying something like that? Can you imagine David saying anything like that? Can you imagine any of the apostles saying that? Old Brother Paul, here he is, he's in prison. He's in a bad way. And I believe it's 2 Timothy. Might be 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. We could go look, but I'm not going to bother at this point. But I remember him saying, you know, I need you to bring me a cloak that I left at Troas. I believe it was Troas. And he said, but I also want you, he said, I want you to bring the books and the parchments. And he also told him, he said, give attendance to reading. You can't imagine those people saying, well, I know enough. I don't need to read anymore. I don't need to study anymore. I don't need to. No, wisdom is a principal thing. It's a lifelong pursuit. Therefore, get it. So I hope when we look at that, I want you to understand something. When we look at this passage of Scripture, we look at our spreadsheet, what we did of the places where all the verses that we said God spoke to our heart, that you submitted to me in your reading of the book of Proverbs, that was where this intersected. So this ought to be where we pay attention. Not that we don't pay attention to any of it, but if we say, hey, we're going to do this and see what God says to us, I think this is what he's telling us. Isn't it interesting that we go through that and God is telling us something? There's so many, like I said, there are literally hundreds of references to wisdom. The difference between God's wisdom and man's wisdom. The difference between understanding and the consequences of a lack of understanding throughout the Bible. And it's no wonder he says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. We do that in our regular life, don't we? And if we find somebody who gets a bunch of wisdom but really doesn't have understanding, what do we call them? A know-it-all, don't we? You ever known anybody that knew everything about anything but couldn't do anything? I've known a lot of people like that. Some of us have always probably been that person at time to time. Well, you have them in the spiritual world too. But it's really not spiritual, it's really fleshly, isn't it? Oh, you have a lot of understanding and a lot of things in memory, but you've never learned to apply them. You never learned to understand them the way you should. And that ought to be our principal pursuit. If I get to a point where I say, God's Word says I ought to be doing this, but I don't understand how to do it, that ought to be a place for me to say, that's where I need to study. That's where I need to seek the Lord. That's where I need to learn. If that's preached on, I definitely need to pay attention there. Most time we don't do that, do we? And that's a shame, because wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I just pray you'd help us. Again, we pray for Brother Carl, Sister Alvon, and pray you comfort them, help them, heal them, and provide for them, Father. But help us to have the wisdom we need to have. And Lord, we know that there's so much that is there. And your wisdom and your ways and your thoughts are so much higher than ours. So Lord, there's an inexhaustible supply of wisdom available to us. So help us, Lord, to make that the principal thing, to get wisdom and understanding of your word and your ways and your will. And Lord, apply that to our hearts and to our lives to make a difference. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.